Welcome to the Nintendo Show, episode 31. I am your co-host, Devin Moon, and with me, as always, my co-pilot, my Chewbacca, if you will, Trevor Payne. How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm feeling so good. Yeah, I feel so good, buddy. Yeah. Hey, good Star Wars little thing you got going. Tomorrow's Star Wars Day. Yeah. So, you know, it was that was on point, dude.
Okay, this week we're going to discuss the possibility of not seeing a Direct in June. Two games, Fight It Out and Nintendo Fight. We're finally getting down to it. And we discuss some non-Nintendo with our short but sweet segment called Console Wars, The Ninth Generation. Oh, yeah. It's kind of Star Trek-y. Whatever.
I dig it.
And as usual, we'll be answering your questions, comments, and concerns. And remember, listeners, if you want to be part of the show, visit our website at nintendoshow.com or send those in there. You can also join us on Facebook Live, where we are live currently. And you can just talk to us directly right here on the comment section of your choice. Mm-hmm. Trev, let's dig into the mysterious world, which is Mr. Miyamoto's magical news. There is one item. There is one item this week. Number one, there will be no June Direct. That is at least according to Jeff Grubb, the leaker of the latest Direct Mini, claims that Nintendo will not be holding a Direct in June around the time of E3 would have taken place. Eurogamer's own sources seem to also support this conclusion. The reason for the delay is due to first-party games needing more development due to the coronavirus. So, Trev, we are left for a long period with no Direct once again. How do you think Nintendo will hold up in this first-party drought? Will Nintendo sail through these devastating waters? Will we make it through these difficult times?
This ship's starting to sink, dude.
The ship.
It's that's a long time. I think everybody was hopeful to get some news, especially with E3. But now that that's completely gone,
yeah,
that ship has sailed. But you know, so there's some other great news out there. They have that obviously the IGN thing, which Nintendo I don't believe is going to take part of. But also Jeff Keighley is doing the summer, that summer of games or whatever that celebration is, which is awesome.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
so
which is pretty cool.
He hasn't confirmed that Nintendo will be there, but he has in the past with like the video game awards or whatever it is.
Yeah. Video game awards.
He has a really good relationship with Nintendo, at least Nintendo of America. And so hopefully he can pair something up there and we get some juicy announcements this summer, dude, because right now as a Nintendo fan, there's not much to look forward to, man. Like,
it's not great.
No,
it's not great.
There's like a couple. There's like a remake of
of Xenoblade Chronicles,
which I am excited about. That, like, that's cool. That's coming out this month. I'll play it this summer.
Yes,
it sounds
looks
awesome.
Great. Looks great.
What else is there? That
there was one other, but it wasn't. I can't remember.
Bayonetta.
No, I don't know what it was. I don't know. There's something else in the summer, but
what was it?
Obviously not that important.
Oh, yeah. Obviously it's not sticking.
I mean, it's definitely not. That's my thing. It's just like there's not enough stickiness. There's not enough peanut butter and jelly time here.
Gross.
I have nothing to stick to.
Yeah.
Okay. There's nothing here for me. I can't have a meal here. I can't have lunch. You know? Where's my PBJs?
I hope we get some news soon, man, because I'm hungry. I'm hungry from the PBJs.
Dude.
You know what I mean?
Well, what a time to start a Nintendo podcast, huh?
Yeah.
We chose
the
wrong console, maybe, huh?
Yeah, maybe we should have gone with like some Xbox or PlayStation, dude, with like Xbox doing the whole thing next week.
Yeah.
Next week with
Xbox
all the new
rolling
games.
Through this.
Oh my gosh, where's my pen? Because I got to hold something, remember?
Yep.
Got my pen.
Yeah,
got to
hold
right.
something. Thank you. Yeah, dude, the Xbox is in a great place to be. You know,
totally.
And that's what my worry is Nintendo. This is a long time, dude. We
it
got
is.
That Direct Mini. I know what it was, Trev. The other game was Bravely.
Oh yeah,
Default.
That'll be cool. But I mean, like,
that'll be cool.
It's not like the big mainstream game.
No. Yeah.
And the other thing is too, Devin, if you're not like an Animal Crossing fan, let's say like you're not into it,
dude.
This whole year, like, you've been waiting since last year when Pokemon came out for like a new game.
Literally,
we will have some Pokemon DLC, which I'm excited about. That'll be fun, but
still,
okay. I want some first party goodness. It seems like we're getting a good amount of like remakes and stuff, which that's cool. Yeah. But yeah, I want something new.
Well, and I feel like the crossover of the audience of Pokemon and Animal Crossing are a lot closer together. They just seem like they'd be like buddy buddies. Like they'd go to a party together, you know, there's animals. They're really cute. So I mean, if you really are like a Mario guy or a Zelda guy, you're just, especially a Mario guy, you've been just waiting and waiting since Mario Maker 2. They got their DLC and stuff. But like, again, it's just not a lot of new. Exactly. And I'm like, Xbox is going to be showing a lot of new, and PlayStation is going to be showing a lot of new, and we're going to be looking at a lot of ports.
Yep.
And it's not going to be hot, dude. It's not going to be hot.
Maybe they're cooking something in the oven, dude. And it's like, it's the oven that's in the back of the building. It's hidden. Yeah. It's not up front.
It's hidden.
They're trying to keep it from us. And then they're going to bring out that big old beefsteak, dude. And it's going to be like, wait, do beefsteak? Would you kick that in an oven? Or is that like a stove situation?
I don't know what a beefsteak actually is, but
I don't know either. I mean, it just sounded right. It sounded right. Oh, shoot. Yeah, so that's I don't know. I hope that they have some plans. I hope that they, you got to think that they would. You would think that. So hopefully
think so.
This, and you know what? They were planning for something. Like, you know that they were planning for something for E3.
There definitely was.
There's something
there. They were. Yeah, there is something there. My thing is, so Snort asks, guys, no Direct in June. I'm freaking out. Wouldn't it be better for Nintendo to show the project, projects that they're working on, just give some hype, even if there's no release date for these games? I feel that it would be better to see something than nothing at all.
Yeah.
Snort Short is wondering, Trev, would you rather have just seen like that Mario game, that rumored Mario game of all three Marios coming out, those 3D Mario games with no release date, just being like, hey, listen, we don't know when it's going to come out, but this is what it looked like, and it's going to come. Like, would you appreciate that more than nothing?
Sometimes, like, no news is... I mean, maybe no news isn't good news. But, like, I would love them to bring something. Dude. But, like, maybe they should just get out there and say, like, hey, we have some awesome stuff coming your guys' way. We're going to delay. Yeah. We're going to delay talking about it for a little bit. So just be patient. So I think that they need to jump on Twitter, dude, and throw out something, like, just to appease everybody. Because I can definitely tell that people are getting a little anxious about, like, hey, what's going to be coming? So.
Yeah, it's getting to that point. I honestly, I think it's the point that we would understand because of the coronavirus that, yeah, okay, we get it. It's not going to come out on the dates that you were expecting it to be. You were expecting these to be in the holiday season. I get that.
Oh, yeah.
But at least show me the game so I can be like, oh, so that's the plan. That's the game plan.
Sure.
That's where Nintendo Switch is heading. Because right now I'm looking at a future that's two RPGs. And if you're not an RPG guy, you're going to hate this year. If you're not an Animal Crossing guy, you're going to hate this year. These aren't like popular games.
Right.
Like Xenoblade is okay. It's like a 2 million seller. And same with Bravely. These aren't like high selling games. These aren't the big Nintendo hitters. So I need a roadmap, and I need to see that. Another thing, Pan Fight 44 asks, do you two think that Nintendo is too secretive of a company? Should they be more transparent with their development in the future projects? Do you think they're too closed off?
Can we
crack that egg a little bit? Have a little peek.
All right. So something like, speaking about Xbox, right? So Xbox with Phil Spencer, my boy, Phil Spencer, dude, I got really, a crush on that man.
Yo, baby.
He is awesome.
How you doing?
Yeah.
How you doing? Hot stuff?
But no, but like he has taken Xbox to something else over the last couple of years. Like he, as far as just like a brand and like fans being loyal to like a company, like he has straight up just said, we want to be as transparent as we can, let you know what our plans are, even if it is saying, hey, we're going to be talking about our new console a year ahead, like they did that 1 year, and they're like, hey, this is coming out, even though it's like, dude, it's so far off. So it's like, is it gonna hurt sales of the current Xbox and things like that? But they're like, hey, we just want to let our fans know the truth of what's going on, what's our plan. And I think there's some really goodwill there that I think Nintendo could learn from, as far as just being more transparent and be like, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what we're working on. But on the flip side, dude, it's bit them in the butt so many times where they announce something and it takes forever to come out, let's say there's a delay or there's something that happens, and then they're like, their feet are held to the fire. So I think there is a balancing act there. What do you think, Dev?
Well, and dude, the fans are rabid.
Yeah.
They're crazy. They're off the chain, dude. Zelda fans? You don't tell Zelda fans things without being like, whoa, we're going to have 500 episodes about nothing, about this 2-second trailer that means nothing.
Right.
Like, you don't get that. That's the hard part, is the fans are so crazy about this stuff that, yeah, if you give a release date and it doesn't hold up, which it, with Nintendo, they just do things differently. They don't believe in crunch in the same way for the most part, sure, especially new Nintendo. So it's kind of like, hey, when your game's done, it's done. And right now, you know, there's a lot of games having issues being done,
yeah.
You know, so I think I get it. I get being secretive. I wish there was a little bit more like, hey, or just be honest with us. Hey, there's not going to be a direct.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a direct. And this is why. Like, give us a reason why and be like, okay, but there will be cool ports. We have a couple ports lined up that we've been holding out, like Metroid, sure, Prime Trilogy.
Sure.
Or we have the Super Mario Bros. 3D World. Like, we have some ports that we'll keep you loved for a little bit, but we're not getting the mainline games for a little bit. We're sorry about that. We're trying our best. Just that disclosure would be nice, yeah, you know, rather than be like, dude, it's going to be months, dude. It's since a regular direct is going to be more than like maybe more than half a year. And
it's,
we're
a
just
long
like,
time.
I guess something's coming. Who knows?
Yeah.
And what am I supposed to do when I'm writing down this show, Nintendo? What am
just
I
do it
supposed
at least
to say?
For us, man.
Think about us, dude. I need some news. Miyamoto.
Soon we're going to just start making it up. Let's just make up our own news.
Dude, I think it's got to get to it. We're going to have to do it.
We're
going to
run out of
things
to
talk
about. We might have to transition the show. Then
turn into The Onion.
The Onion show.
Make it a fake news,
yep,
for the most part.
I love it. Good plan.
Speaking of no news, that's it. Mr. Miyamoto is gone. He left the building. Took his little bag and left. Yeah. Didn't even say goodbye. Where's the snacks? Hmm?
How dare they disrespect us like that? Jeez.
That is done. The news is over. Trev, 10 questions, my friend. 10 beautiful,
beautiful, beautiful juicy questions.
Let me get the game up just because I have it.
Oh, Devin, I have a feeling for some weird reason this is going to be the one that I lose. I don't know what it is.
I did something sneaky.
Oh, no,
I think
didn't.
This might be a sneaky one.
Really?
Not like sneaky.
Like,
it's
how
not hard.
Sneaky?
Not sneaky. Listen, it's going to be interesting.
Okay.
It's interesting. Okay, Trev.
Yeah.
It's time for 10 questions.
Okay.
Here's how this works. One of us knows the game. That person is me. While the other guy guesses the game. That guy is Trevor. The guesser, Trevor, has 10 questions to figure out what the game is. The questions must be yes, no questions. The nice thing about 10 questions, the guesser will know the date and the console that the game was released on. Trev, it's time for 10 questions. I'm ready to give it to you.
Give X it to me,
give
baby.
It to you. Here it is. The game came out in North America's January 2000.
Ooh, 2000.
And the console, the Nintendo 64.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude, that's a weird release date. I didn't know it came out at that time.
Because the 64 came out in like 1996, right? Ish?
I think
somewhere
so.
Somewhere around there?
Yeah, ish. Kay. Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Okay. All right. 10 questions. 2000.
Yeah.
Nintendo 64.
N64.
Okay. Questions. I'm going to say, is this a Nintendo first party game?
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
First party. Is this game in the Metroid franchise?
No Metroids.
Ah, okay.
No roids.
All right, no roids. Let's go with. Does this have Mario characters in it?
It does.
Okay, so it does Mario have some characters Mario characters.
Aplenty. Yes.
Aplenty. Oh, I think you might have just given me some juice right there,
sorry,
dude.
Oh, I maybe should have shut my mouth. Sorry, that might have been...
That's on you.
I'm not going to say anymore.
Oh, but no, then if I lose, then... Talking. Okay, all right, here we go. Yeah.
See
would
these?
You say
see these fingers that is that feeling intense
that
now?
Too,
you feeling that? Oh, you feeling that?
It's
heat?
Almost touching my sunburned eyeballs. I'm gonna say, is this a? Would you say it's a party game?
Oh, you trash bag! Yes,
it is.
It is a party game.
Okay,
yep.
Would you Number is four. The word party?
I gave him too much juice.
Is the word party in the title?
Yes, it is in the yeah. parties. In the
okay,
tag.
So is it Mario Party? But I don't know. Is there's multiple? Crap. No, this is stupid. This is stupid.
That ain't that stupid.
Okay.
There's only a few on the 64.
I can't remember.
There's only a few. I don't know which ones, but there's a few.
Okay. Is it is the word or the number 64 in the title?
No, there's no 64 in the title.
Okay, so that's six. Is this... Freak, when did Mario Party come out? The original, the OG. Devin, oh, this is, I'm going to lose to it.
What?
To a freaking
no,
number.
You're not going
to
lose.
Okay.
You're not going to lose the number. We're not going to do, we won't do you dirty.
All
like
right.
That. That's,
is this the first game in this series?
It is not.
Is it the second?
It is.
Okay. So is this Mario Party 2?
It is, woo! Dude. I thought I'd trip you up on Mario Party. It's a strange game. You don't think of party games. I thought... The last time you got me with sports game was I thought I could get you
it's
with party games.
It's because you gave it away, bro.
I gave too much.
You're like a plenty.
Mario plenty. Oh yeah, and by the way,
it has Mario a plenty.
Yeah.
Jeez, you might as well just said like, yes, it has Mario and they party.
I was feeling it, dude. I was feeling myself. I was feeling too dirty. I just. You know? All right. Well, that's that. Man, that was the quickest 10 questions ever, dude.
I love
you were
it.
Right in there on like four. Mm. You were in there on four.
Get it.
I'm impressed.
Hey.
Trev, impressed with you,
you
man.
You know, thank okay. you. Yeah, I live to impress. Especially you. If okay. if it's you, then I'm down.
All right, Trev, it is time for Nintendo Fight, the tournament that pits the greatest games in Nintendo history against each other to figure out once and for all who is truly the greatest in yeah. Nintendo history-dom. But before we start the tournament, we must enter in the final participants into the brackets. And those participants were chosen by our amazing listeners on Facebook. Remember, you can go on Facebook, Nintendo, The Nintendo Show, and that's where we'll be. Trev, here was the first poll that we presented.
Okay.
The best round one was Mario games. Okay.
I like it.
So the top three, we're going to choose the top three. Luckily, they're already been chosen. You and I already chose
okay, good.
All of
these. We all think alike. We're all
we
sheep.
We all think alike. These games are Super Mario Brothers 3, Super Mario 64, and Super Mario World. All three of those bad boys.
Great games. Good choice, everybody.
The tops, man.
I like it.
Yeah, all the tops. Not bad at all. Round two, we had a little mishap here, Trev.
What?
If you remember last time, you and I did not put Ocarina of Time
oh, no.
on the list.
No.
It's on there.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right, dude.
It's okay.
Don't
yeah,
scare
that bad
me
boy
like
made
that.
It. Yeah. That guy tied up with Breath of the Wild. He tied
really?
Up with Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
Yeah. So Ocarina of Time is going into the tournament. Thank gosh. Thank you, fans. You did do us a favor because the wrong has been righted. Namaste. Majora's Mask, though, is the upset that I was referring to. Majora's Mask was the third favorited game.
Dude,
outbeating the Wind Waker.
Get that out of here, man.
I'm glad I said something about the Wind Waker because I knew it. I just had a feeling.
I'm glad too.
That Majora.
Good pick.
Yeah. And that Minish Cap.
Tell me about that Minish Cap. Dig it in?
Oh, it looks like we have one vote, Trev.
Was me.
It's from Trevor
yeah,
Payne.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like.
Oh, you don't understand,
yeah,
Dev.
Dude.
You need to play that game. It's so
good. I do. Dude, hey, remember that thing you told me to buy?
Yeah.
The handheld
RG350?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Does it play that stuff?
Yeah, dude.
Does it play some of that?
I'm gonna...
Dude, bring that down. Bring that sweet Chinese. Oh, yeah.
Dude, this thing is sick.
I bought one of those, and I bought it so we could do Nintendo Fight.
You did?
So I could play the games, yeah. Because I got to play these old games.
Dude,
so
I here love we are. It. Oh, man, yeah, if you need help or anything, let me know. That is so sweet.
Yeah, I will I'll probably let you know. I'm one of those people that do need help for that stuff. Dude, so that's done.
Cool.
Trev, round three was Metroid games. Number one, Super Metroid.
Makes sense.
But tied Metroid Prime. Also makes sense.
Okay.
Both of those, we didn't put Super Metroid in. We didn't put Super Metroid in ourselves, which is a heresy, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah,
we did Zero Mission instead. I think we did Zero Mission
I
instead.
Love that game.
Hey, dude, that's fine.
I'll back it
that's
up.
Fine. But they chose that Super Metroid should come in, so it's coming into the brackets, as well as Metroid Fusion. Mm. Both of those will be entering in.
Sweet.
Which are both great games.
I'll take it.
Okay. The last one we got today that we voted on, we had the other guys, the randoms, as we like to call them, in round four. Yoshi's Island coming in hot as number one. Yoshi's Island.
Like
so that bad boy is coming in. Another one coming in. Banjo-Kazooie doing its thing. Second. Well, Trev, hey, we got.
That's fine.
We got to give it its day.
I know.
We got to give it its day. You know, we got to give it its day. And on the third best. We got Pokemon Red and Blue.
Okay, cool.
Doing its thing.
Yeah.
So there it is.
Your Red and Blue can come at my Gold and Silver.
We'll see what happens. So those are all the games that will be entering in the brackets. There is plenty of games going in. Tons of games. I would list them off, but I don't have... Yeah.
It's going to be a lot.
It's like 40 games. So I'd list them off, but we're just going to do this one at a time.
This
so how is it going to work?
Almost like a battle royale situation.
Yes, almost. It's to that
100 Nintendo games drop onto an island.
Just fly right on in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're on that magic school bus and then drop right in with their V-Bucks and pop, 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 pop. Who wins? Who knows? It's whoever knows how to build the house.
Oh, I hate Fortnite. Okay, go ahead.
Me too. What a trash game. Okay. Here's how this is going to work, Trev. Each one of us is going to fight it out to the death. We're going to give it our best. We're going to give it our best shot here. I'm going to say why my game is the best. You're going to say why your game is the best. We chose these randomly, flipped to the coin. These also were put into brackets, and they are randomly been chosen. Ooh. So
what's up today, Devin?
What's up today? I will show you or tell you. Here it is, weighing in this corner at 198 pounds, standing at an intimidating 6'3", Samus Aran from Metroid Fusion.
Bow, bow, bow.
Fireworks blowing up in the background. You got to watch this on Facebook Live. It's blowing my mind. The facts that Trevor's doing
my
on
gosh.
The screen now. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Another thing. On the other corner, Trev.
Ooh, what is it?
Her 3D doppelganger in Metroid Prime.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Oh,
we got two Metroids coming
in hot.
This is like
Inception. They're fighting themselves. Yes. Except for, you know what, Devin? I'm going to give you a little sneak preview. You ready for this?
Let's see this.
In Fusion, she kind of fights herself.
I know. In a lot of games, she does.
I know. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good one.
Dude. This is how it's going to work. The game has to be victorious in four categories, which we chose before. The categories are story, visuals, gameplay, and sound. Those four categories, whoever's the best out of those four, not win all four, but whoever gets the most out of those four.
Sure.
Moves on.
I like it.
And keeps on fighting. The other, goodbye. See you later. Sayonara. It's been well.
And no one can ever play it again, unfortunately.
No one will. Yeah, unfortunately, that is the rules.
Goes
all copies
forever.
Will be burnt into a fire.
Yeah, just spontaneously.
We hold that kind of authority. We do hold that authority with Nintendo. We appreciate that they will be doing the self-destruct option that no one knew about. Secretive Nintendo, but they got some good ideas. Okay, Trev, here it is, man. Here it is. Round one, fight.
fart.
Story, Trev.
All right, dude.
Story, dude.
Story.
Now, do you start me off. Metroid Fusion. Paint a world for me.
All right, dude.
What is Metroid Fusion? Why is it better than Metroid Prime?
Here, let me get my notes up. I haven't played this game for so long. I had to do some research. Yeah, it's a while. Thinking.
No, I've been same with Prime.
Do you
want to
know something cool too? When this game came out, Metroid Fusion, it came out the same year, the same time as Prime 2, I believe. And so there's these two very different Metroid games.
I think it came out as same as Prime.
No,
actually.
Oh, as Prime? Shoot, so very different
games. A day after.
Oh, that is
after.
So cool.
So it's funny that these two are fighting.
I love that.
This is like beautiful. This
makes me so happy. Anyways, so story-wise. So the story. So oftentimes on handheld games, I feel like story gets kind of passed up, right? I feel like sometimes it's more of about gameplay, short play sessions, things like that. This game is great for those play sessions, but the story, this is one of the Metroid games that actually didn't just tell story through like environmental storytelling and things like that. It actually had some dialogue. It had conversations. It had the way that it presented itself. I felt like they were taking ideas and things from like their 3D counterpart maybe and trying to make it put into like a more old school 2D type of gameplay. Anyway, so this is pretty cool. So after the destruction of Zebes, all right, the Federation hired Samus to help excavate a planet. And the planet was SR388. Samus, though, got infected with the X parasite, okay? So Parasite X or whatever it's called.
Okay.
This infection infected her power suit. So it kind of took over her power suit. And basically she couldn't function anymore. She couldn't think. She couldn't talk, whatever. The doctors then had to amputate and take off parts of this armor and everything. Okay. That's why you see her in that real sleek suit. So anyways, that infection though, unfortunately infected her as well. So the doctors, they scrambled because she was on the verge of death. She was going to die. But the doctors, they decided, you know what? We have some cells from that last Metroid that we harvest. She's going to die. So let's just try to inject her with some of these cells. So they inject her with these cells. And guess what? Immediately, all of a sudden, boom, she's conscious. Everything's working again. And the doctor's like, oh, this is amazing. And the cool thing is they do this in a cutscene. Okay. So they actually have a full cutscene with all this in it for a 2D game is so rad.
Pretty cool. Yeah. It was, I remember the cutscene being pretty rad. Yeah. The whole thing. Yeah.
Exactly. But with the cells being injected to her, she was never the same. Her biology changed, her appearance changed. Like, this was something that, like, is going to last forever. It's not this thing that's to be taken lightly. Close by at a biological research base, there's an explosion. There's an alarm explosion, and the Federation hired Samus, their best bounty hunter, to go investigate and figure this thing out. So when she woke up and heard about this explosion and that she needed to go, she actually said that she had this like nameless fear in her heart as she heard about this and felt that explosion, like something was calling to her. And this is one of those times that you actually see her vulnerability and her express emotion, because in a lot of Metroid games, there isn't that heart, you know, or anything in it.
Yeah.
Anyways, dude, the story goes some places. There's some twists. There's some turns. I don't want to go too into it because I don't want to like spoil it.
Yeah, don't, no spoilers. Yeah, yeah.
But it gets to the point, Devin. There's spots that you get there, and she's there. She's investigating this base, and she has to go into each little place, and every place is like super thematic and like really unique and cool. But then the Federation, like, hey, we're going to help her. We're going to send that infected power suit to go help her, and maybe we can control it like remote, like a robot or whatever. They send it, but it gets fully taken over by this X parasite.
Nice.
So anyways, it's like it develops like this body inside of it, and it starts hunting her down. So not only are you on this crazy base with all these crazy monsters, but then you have not only that, you have this like superhero tracking you down, and you got to hide from it. And when you fight it, you can't beat it. It's way too powerful. And anyways, what happens at the end is real dope. I'm not going to share it. Yeah. I like it. I think it's good. But one last story thing, Dev, that I feel they do so good in this game. They do so much like foreshadowing that I am so impressed, especially in a simple 2D sprite kind of game. There's this moment that you go to this cryogenic freezer, basically, and you see the remains of Ridley. So you remember Ridley, the big dragon monster looking thing?
Yep.
Okay. Uh-huh. So Ridley's in there, and you're like, oh, shoot, this is crazy. And then you see this parasite go into that room, and it takes Ridley's DNA and Ridley falls and, like, collapses in whatever the ice of it and takes off. And you're just like, shoot, something's going to be happening later on. And then and it's actually, like, a while later, you finally get to a point. And then this, like, this morphed Ridley, it's like a super Ridley because the Parasite X takes over and takes its appearance, but it's not quite right. It's a little bit more sinister and crazy and chaotic, and you fight it. And it's so epic and cool. This game, for being such an old game, has some great story in it that I'm very impressed.
Now, I'm really annoyed by this one, because this is where Prime cannot compete. I know for a fact that Prime cannot compete in this one thing. I will try my best. Metroid Prime as a story is, it is not so much about the story, but the world is the story. You are isolated, you are alone, and you fill it throughout. And you are exploring alien planets. And I think in Metroid Prime, that's just it. That's it. I mean, that's the story. You're in there, you're doing your thing. You'll see Ridley eventually. You'll do all that Metroid junk. But as far as, like, there's no, like, deep thematics of, like, you got a fusion. There's nothing like that, but it's all built into the world around you in a way that is just what's so impressive about Prime is that you actually feel like you're in a space, like in a world, like even like the animals and stuff, the flora, the fauna, all that good stuff, all that stuff, dude, that seems like it's part of a world, you know, part of something that you're, and it's a very much a different kind of game than a lot of first person shooters at that time. It was very much an adventure game. You felt like you were exploring a space and were in that space. And it was terrifying. Just the feeling of isolation. Metroid Prime or Metroid games were based off Alien, the Alien movies. Yeah. That feeling of being isolated on a ship, being isolated on a planet, that they totally nail here. They totally nail that scariness, that fact where just being in her helmet alone.
Sure.
Like, it just, that's the story is just, it's nothing exciting. It's nothing flashy. It's just being there.
Yeah.
Now, I like Metroid Prime 2, maybe we could get in comparison being like, hey, guess what? Metroid Prime 2 has that fusion crap, you know? So screw you. But right now, we don't have that. And Metroid Prime 2, probably a worse game than Fusion. So not going to work out.
Yeah.
And definitely Metroid Prime 3. So as far as story goes, I want to say that it can compete. But I don't know, man.
I just don't know if it can. Like, I think now, don't get me wrong, Prime, I think, is a fantastic game. It puts you in, like, I think when you're first person, it's more immersive, right? Because you're
way,
like,
way more.
You're in the place of that character and you're in their shoes. And so I think just inherently you're more in it. And so I think so story wise, like as far as more environmental storytelling can be pretty neat that way. But I do think that Fusion, now don't get me wrong, like there's Fusion haters out there that hate this game.
Oh yeah.
Plenty. Yeah, yeah. But I think that they did some really cool things for, especially a portable Metroid game that I think it deserves the win when it comes to the story.
I think as far as story goes, that's where Fusion is above a lot of Nintendo games.
Sure.
I mean, just the ideas there, the concepts there. I like the idea. Nintendo likes to play with the idea of a dark side of somebody, Dark Link or Dark Mario, like in Sunshine.
Exactly.
I think this game probably does it the best because it just the idea of the suits and the alien and all that crap.
Sure.
So, Trev, you get this one, okay? You get this one.
Hey, it's not, it's not me. It's the game. It's the game.
Well, I'm sorry. Fusion, you get this, baby. It's for you. Round one, knockout. Fusion taking out Metroid Prime. I'm sorry. Couldn't do much. That was just a one-hit knockout. Mike Tyson, young-blooded, down on the ground.
Aw, yeah.
Round two, fight. Visuals, Trev. Mm. Visuals, baby. This is an interesting one.
Okay, I want you to go first.
I will start
round.
Off. I'll start off on this one. Okay, so what we got to think about Metroid Prime here is that this is a game that feels like a Metroid game, and it is in a 3D environment.
Yeah.
Never has there been a 3D game totally changed this way, like 2D to a totally immersive 3D, completely different? I would say this is a harder or a bigger step than Zelda. Yeah. From Ocarina of Time to Link to the Past. It's very much a bigger step up, because this world should not work. This world should not work in any way, but it visually does. The cues, the things that they take from the Metroid games are so on point. You know it's a Metroid game, the way that the level is created to backtrack and all that kind of stuff. Beautifully done. Like, this is Metroid in a 3D environment, and that is an impressive feat by itself. And visually, it just, I think for its time, this may be one of the best looking first person shooters of its time. Even when you compare it to heavy hitters like Xbox's Halo or Halo 2.
Sure.
I think this is probably more around Halo's time, or maybe in between the first Halo, that is. This game, I think just the look of it is artistically, it has a look that even if you play it now, you still will be like, this is a pretty looking game. Like, sure, this is a fine, good looking game. If you went back to other games, I think during this period, you might think, okay, maybe not. But when you play Metroid Trilogy on your Wii U, you're like, yeah, this dude, I'm feeling this. Like, I feel these environments, I feel these character designs. Like I said, the animals feel realistic and they feel like they belong in that place. I feel like a wall has a lot of detail, which is an important thing. I feel like a lot of games during this time were very flat.
Sure.
Like flat, empty corridors. But to make this game seem natural, there's a lot of bumps, a lot of uneven surfaces, yeah, things that just don't look like look natural and look like a place, sure, that is lived in. So I think visually this is a game that is stunning for its time. I think obviously you can say Fusion is more, you go back to Fusion, it's always going to look good because all those Metroid games, correct, always look, yeah, the same. But I would say that you already knew what you were getting with Fusion, I guess. And with, yeah, this one, totally different and a huge surprise, a giant surprise. I think visually this is a stunning game, at least for me. Metroid Prime is a beauty to behold, even in the era, which was Xbox, which wasn't always that pretty.
Sure.
And GameCube. I should say GameCube since that's what we're talking about.
And I think also to Dev, like seeing things in 3D, like, cause like you're so used, yeah, to seeing like these certain characters or these certain creatures or environments or spaceship or all these different things on a 2D plane. And then to like,
yeah,
all of a sudden see it in 3D, it was so cool. Like I remember that being like a cool moment. You're like, oh dude, this is dope. This, yeah, looks, dude, neat.
Well, and just like the way that they put you in the helmet.
Yeah.
It was also like a thing. That,
yeah, the,
like,
way,
wow,
they did the heads up display, like the, and,
yeah, heads up display, like the steaming on the mask, the droplets, yeah, of the rain when you're going into an environment. Like those are artistic touches that I think really just add to this feeling of an adventure.
Sure.
A scary adventure, one that I don't want to be on personally,
yeah,
but an adventure in an unknown world. You feel like someone that's in space exploring something you've never seen before. Metroid Prime really hits the note on visuals. So.
Yes, it does. I like
Trev,
it. Okay.
Hit that Fusion. Give,
oh,
me that,
dude,
Fusion.
All right. So Fusion, I think a couple things with it is it's a 2D Metroid game. So these have been seen before at this time,
yeah,
right? So these are a dime a dozen. People know what to expect, which this game absolutely takes those things, but the sprite work that they do. So the sprite work that they do on the animations of like the bosses, the creatures, there's a little bit more detail to their movement, their, mm-hmm, their attacks, yeah, the abilities that you do. Everything is just a little bit more detailed and refined, and it does look amazing. I was watching some gameplay just to kind of get ready for this conversation, and I was, yeah, like, oh my gosh, this game looks so good. Like, it is a, yeah, beautiful 2D pixelated sprite game, and I wish I knew how to make that kind of art. Like, it is something, yeah, else. It's a whole,
that's
different,
really cool,
talent. It's amazing to make something that's only like 20 pixels high, have like these like details and things like that. But on the other thing that I want to talk about with it too, is they do such a cool job in this, so that other Metro games at this time didn't do. The backgrounds actually had different animations, or so there's this part where you're in this, yeah, reactor, and the reactor starts like waving back and forth, like in the background. background, so you can tell like, oh, there's heat. There's heat. It's crazy. It's grimy. It's almost steamy, wet. And you get that from the background and the sprite work that they do. And that was, I was just, it's amazing to me that someone can take these so, for us now, old school art design and breathe life into it. That makes me just like in awe. Like it should be like right now, like knowing what we see, I should be seeing these new futuristic games of being like, this is amazing, which I am, but then still going back, you know, almost 20 years at this point or 20 years at this point, just about, and looking back at these games being like, ah, that's just beautiful. And it'll stand the test of time. Yeah. Now I do think that, I'm going to say, Prime, I think, deserves it for this category.
Yeah,
just because it's so a little too, bit more unique. But
yeah, unique and a first. And I think that's probably why. Sure. Although I do love Fusion's neon look.
Oh,
also.
Dude, yeah, the colors. The neon, the colors pop.
Yeah, the
don't
colors.
They? It's a little
so
bit more
much
vibrant.
Brighter. So much brighter than the Metroids before. And I think like that really works with like the alien kind of like chasing you kind of thing. Like the deep neon colors and stuff. It like is really an interesting look. Like it's a cool looking game. I'm not going to say Metroid Fusion's ugly in any way.
It looks
great. Just think it's that being first, Metroid Prime might take the hit here. And again, it is hard to make a game from this generation still look good. Like this is a time period where you didn't actually, a lot of games were fine looking and they still look okay, but there's a lot of uggos and Nintendo did a great job. Yeah,
I agree.
So yeah, man. Okay.
I think let's go with Prime. I like it.
Okay. Round two by not much of a knockout. There's a little bit of blows being hit round two goes to Prime.
I like
Thank you, Fusion, for the fight there. Round three, we're going to gameplay. Gameplay, Trev.
Okay.
This is going to be an interesting
one. This is
going to
be interesting because very different. Very different.
Very
in
different.
Gameplay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, man.
Let's
go
ahead. All right. Okay. These games were on home consoles, right? We got to remember home consoles. We had NES, Super NES. These were controllers, a little different. And, you know, with Super Nintendo, they added shoulder buttons and things like that. But I felt like the gameplay on the Game Boy Advance, there's something about just the way that handheld fit in your hand and the shoulder buttons just caressed your little fingies, dude. It just felt really good. And what they implemented in this game that I loved was like holding down R to shoot missiles or alt fire, switch over to your alternate weapon. And so it was so smooth and fluid. There's no hitting back button or the select button to change from your blaster to missiles or things like that. So it was really quick and easy to be able to swap real fast. And that just felt fluid and right. The other thing is like holding L, you could then shoot diagonal. So you could shoot diagonal up, diagonal down. And that I remember just feeling so good because I remember in like the older games, like especially Metroid, playing through that game and I'm like, oh, I have to get like right under him and shoot up. That was so annoying. Or you have guys flying at you, but they're up higher. So you have to do this weird like jump and hopefully you get it right. And this is so nice to be able to angle up. And so I felt like it added a little bit more fluidity to the game that you're not like having to work around this old archaic system. It felt like you had a little bit more. The other thing is too, is Samus lost her power suit, right? So she lost this big clunky power suit and she becomes more nimble. She becomes a little bit more acrobatic. She's really flippy. And she can actually jump and grab onto ledges. And that is something different in this game. And that newer 2D Metro games have taken. They're like, oh, yeah, that's dope. Mm-hmm. Being able to do that. And there's moments, okay, Devin, there's moments when that I can't remember the name they give the ex-parasite Samus, whatever. All right, I'm just going to call her Samus X for this
reason.
Yeah,
that works.
Okay? So Samus X. This is straight up Resident Evil 2. Anyways, there's this moment. You're running because you're always running from Samus X. And there's this moment that Samus X is coming, barreling at you. But she's a little bit more clunky. But you're more fluid. And so you're able to do these cool flips and jump onto ledges and flip around and get away from it as it's just like bombarding you with missiles and attacks. That felt so cool that they took, not only because of like the story like of what they're trying to tell, like we got to make the gameplay a little bit different as well to counteract it. And then at the end you do get your suit back and then it feels like, oh, this is like the old Samus. And so I felt like they did a really good job tying those things in. Now, also with gameplay, they streamlined this game quite a bit. Now, some people like that, some people don't. This game, they streamlined it. They, on the map, it was a lot easier to tell where you're going on the map when you pulled it up. They showed a clear target. This is where you're at. But that didn't mean that it was just solely linear. It's not like path A to B. There's always like a weird way to get there. But I love that they gave you a little bit more guidance, a little bit more direction. And I felt like, you know, they could do better storytelling, and that helps, you know, throughout that. So I like that gameplay wise that they really did a good job with like the map and the actual design of the levels. I don't know. The bosses were fun. They were great, but they're normal Metroid bosses. Yeah. I wouldn't say that they're anything like crazy. But mainly the fact that they took her being like this more slender, sleek Samus and actually made the gameplay match, I thought was really cool.
Yeah. No, that's a cool idea. And I remember playing that game and I was like, man, I'm like moving, baby. I'm like flipping, doing my thing. Yeah, she's got some acrobatic skills for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I dig it. Dig it. Okay, so Metroid Prime. What to say about the gameplay? My goodness. Basically, dude, that morph ball, huh? Mm-hmm. That morph ball, huh?
It's real cool.
Dude, real cool. Like, morph ball was all right in the 2D games. Morph ball in the 3D games is the momentum.
Sure.
The whole feeling of that is crazy. It's like as soon as you're turning the morph ball, you're like a little RC car. It's like you have the excitement of a child, like moving a car through this 3D space. Dude, I love the morph ball. You got the bombs, the whole thing, just the way that it feels. I know the morph ball is in everyone, like a lot of those games, but no one does it better than Prime. I think it really helps to have the physics of it, you know, the motion of blowing yourself up. Everything just has a physical aspect to it that I think really helps that morph ball feel great. I think the way that I think this game probably was probably the best on the Wii, sadly, when they did when they got the Wii pointer.
I agree. But
man, when you got the Wii pointer going on that thing, it just feels so natural. That pointer feels like a gun, basically. It feels like, yep, this is the way to do it.
Oh yeah.
I think it feels like a really good first person shooter in general, which is great. But this game is an adventure game, right? This is an adventure game, and not a lot of first-person shooters at all were good at one thing, and that is platforming.
Yes.
Play Half-Life 1. Tell me how fun that is. Hmm? Tell me how fun the platforming is in that game.
It's not fun,
no.
Y'all.
No. It's not fun at all. I think this game got platforming just right.
Yeah.
You know, things were so... Hey, listen, Master Chief, homeboy knows how to jump. He's got some hops. It's easy to jump with Master Chief. It's almost, in my opinion, too easy to jump with Master Chief. A good platformer knows when to be just the right difficulty. You do not want super easiness. You don't want your hops to be like, oh, this is so easy. I can do anything. The jumps are just difficult enough that it's a platforming game.
Sure.
That this game in a 3D space, you can jump to you know, it feels like it's on you when you miss a jump. Okay, I did this wrong. It just feels right. And that whole adventuring aspect, that the movement of that, and just the fact that you can go places quick with your morph ball is a nice thing. Just roll around that freaking whole world. I think the weapons obviously are all it's all taken from old Metroid games. All that stuff is nothing new. But it just feels right in this 3D environment. And I honestly, it just blows my mind that we got a game that actually, it's still hard for first person games to get jumping right. Like, it's still a difficulty today, I think.
Even with the new Doom, like, people are still I don't know, maybe.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's amazing it's that Nintendo was able to figure out first-person platforming back then. Because the way that, like, when you jump, the camera kind of, like, naturally angles down a little bit so you know where you're jumping to. Like,
Know where you're going.
They did such a good job with that. Like, I thought that was pretty rad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Miyamoto was helping Retro on this a little bit, and you can tell that he knows them jumps, he knows them hops. So yes, you get the same weapons, and yes, they, you know, you get the cool flashiness of it all. I think the lock on targeting was really well done in this game. I think one point maybe against the scanning, some people probably hating on the scanning system. I think if you like. I think Japanese people really dug the scanning. That's fine. People,
I had the fun
US
with it.
The US is a little more, hey, where's my shoots? I want to kill somebody.
I haven't blown anybody up.
Exactly.
Dude, we're violent, man.
What's yeah, exactly. That? But so I think scanning, yeah, that's the thing they added. It had some cool play. They did some cool playing with it. I think it made you explore the world and look at it a little more when you had the scanning involved. The map, dude, is amazing. That 3D map is
pretty cool, right?
Pristine. Yeah, pristine. A lot of people are even like, just want to go back to that map. So I think gameplay-wise, I think it does a couple things better than Fusion. I also think, yes, it's not, you won't get that fluidity that you got. It's the chunk, you got that chunky Metroid suit on. Yeah, dude, I love Metroid Prime.
Yeah.
As far as gameplay, it mixes platforming and shooting perfectly. This game does not falter on either of those aspects, and usually games do a lot, and some of the best, including Doom, which is most recent.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's very few that actually get anywhere near that.
I'd say the only one I can think of
is like, what, like Apex Legends has good movement, and the other one, which is Titanfall, those guys, but that's like the only,
well, which
like
is the
only
yeah.
other game. Yeah, that's the only guys that I could think of that. And that's how many years passed, you know? It's been like 20 years ish, or
just about
almost. So, you know,
I think we need to give it to Prime on this one. Like, I think it deserves it. I think that they took some risks making it, adding platforming into a first person shooter. I remember just the simple act of shooting in that game just felt so cool. Yeah. I mean, probably because you were behind, you know, the mask or the helmet.
Yeah,
at that point.
I think. Yeah.
And as much as I think Fusion has great gameplay, I remember it being very fun. I do think Prime should win it when it comes to gameplay.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think I agree that Fusion brought a lot to the table that I think a lot of other Metroid games will be taking from. But I think Prime also brought a lot to the table. And when you think of these two games together, they came out at the same date, and there's a mindset for a certain game. And I'm just saying, Prime's the one that people remember a little highly.
It's
more on
true.
These things.
It's true.
But we're not done yet. This baby can come back for a fight. Round 3 goes to Prime. Round 4, the final round to take the match. Sound, Trevor. Let's talk about the music. Let's talk about the weirdness, which is the music and sounds of Metroid Prime. This game
Metroid
has
in general.
Metroid in general. The composer of this stuff. So the composer of Metroid Prime was the guy that did Super Metroid.
Right.
Just listen to the theme song. I think I'll play it for you guys on the podcast episode, maybe right after this. You will hear some weird electronical sounds, some like clinking, some weird background crap going on. Very strange.
Sure.
But it's like he brought the environment into the music. Like, he says, dude, let's just smack some stuff. Let's get some electrical crap in here. Let's just shock some stuff together and put it in this music. And then it's got that like creepy, like weird, like like, I don't know, like the guys played the strange metal instrument.
Right.
But anyways, like bending the metal. Anyway, it's just a very strange soundtrack, but it is so spooky. The sounds that happen in Metroid Prime are creepy, dude.
They are.
It feels like a horror game, and it's not like it's colorful, dude. This is not like a dark game. It's mostly colorful. And I'm like a little unnerved by it all. You know, it really feels unnerving. It feels lonely, like really lonely and isolated. The music just brings all of that
right
and puts it right into there, baby. and just adding those funky, groovy alien noises that you're like, what is going on in here? Yep. What am I listening to? The sound effects that are coming from these creatures are totally alien. The sounds of like the blaster charging, awesome. Shooting that bad boy. There are some sound effects that you're like, yeah, that's Metroid. They totally nailed it. The sound effects brought this world to life. Again, as I said, it's pretty. It's a visually stunning game, and it won in the visuals here. But it really is helped by the sound here. It is really helped by the music, and so Metroid Prime. I mean, Fusion, I'm sure, is going to be in a similar boat. So this will be
a little hard to do. The interesting thing is, like, a lot of your points that you're talking about, I'm like, that is straight up Fusion. Like, there's this part in Fusion when the Samus X, you know, shuts the power off to the station that you're on, and all of a sudden it just becomes quiet and dark, and the music that kicks in makes it feel horror. Like, it felt like a 2D horror game for a while. Like, there's like this atmosphere, this scariness to it. And also, like, when you edit this, Dev, like, try to put in main intro to Fusion. So it has like the Metroid music, the like, you know, just like the simple sounds, but then like it's like a little bit more. It's like there's something wrong with it. There's some kind of that just seems off, and
something wicked about
it. And I love that. That's how they started the game. And like, first of all, like I love the music in all Metroid. It's not something I would like jam out to and listen.
No, dude, you're not using this in your car.
No, but it's
you're
very
not listening to this bad boy in
atmospheric.
Your car.
You know, like it brings you in and it adds some emotion to the gameplay. And I remember when I booted that up, plugging the old dumb adapter into the Game Boy Advance so I could plug headphones in, is stupid. But like listening to it, I was just like, ooh, something's wrong here. Like, this is weird. And then to come to find out, I was like, yes, there is something wrong here. Samus is infected, and like all this weird crap is happening. And so I feel like the music met with like the story and the gameplay in great harmony that just kind of like showed how awesome it is. Especially, I love, you know, chiptune music and 8-bit, 16-bit stuff.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
So, but I don't know, dude. This is a tough one. I don't tie it. Like, I honestly feel like they are both great in different ways. And the sounds are just so different. Like, having this 3D spatial audio and more
and then
present, you know.
Tune.
Yeah, and then it's just very different. And I feel like they're both very good in very similar ways.
Yeah, I think, dude, let's give this a tie. Okay. I think for me, that's totally fine if we give it a tie.
I like it.
Give Fusion a little love there. So in the end, it looks like Prime comes in victorious, just by a hair.
Sorry, Fusion.
3-2.
I let you down.
Fusion, dude. No, dude, you fought well. Dude, story, you wasted. That was beautiful.
I only practiced in the mirror like 8 times. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
I'm gonna get this right. Now, what's the line here? Yeah. What's my line, please? Line! I understand. I also practiced in the mirror. It was
awkward.
Well, it got me there. It was awkward, but I got there. So that's it. Metroid Prime will be moving forward into the rankings.
We got a winner. Chicken dinner.
Man, we got a winner. This will be going on for at least 40 something weeks or more.
It's going to be epic.
So it's going to be epic. It's going to be a battle, baby. It's going to be years of this. So here we go. That's that. Thank you, Trev, for battling it out. Metroid Fusion, we wish you well.
Absolutely.
Everyone, your copy should be blowing up right now. Self-destruct in 3, 2, 1. I hope it didn't destroy your Trev, is your Game Boy.
Well, Game my Boy shelf Advance? Is on okay. fire. It's rough up there right now, but we got to finish the show. We got to finish the show.
Trev, we're going to do Console Wars, the Ninth Generation.
All right.
Console Wars, the Ninth Generation is an excuse for me and Trev to talk about the newsness, which is Xbox Series X and PS5. We got to get out our wiggles after all, because we are but children in the backseat of the mama PS5 and daddy Xbox's car, and they're fighting. And we want to know what about. So we point our ears to the front cabin in hopes to understand why they just can't get along. But Trev, since this is the Nintendo show, this segment will last only 5 minutes. We will only give you 5 minutes.
I like
you
it.
Hear me? 5 minutes. I have a timer here, Trev.
Okay.
We will go for 5 minutes.
We got to get this off our chest, man. Like, we got to talk about this.
Give it off
this.
The chest.
This is exciting. This is the Nintendo show, moment.
But guys, it is a next generation year. We are going to give some next generation news. It's good to know about your enemies. And didn't you love that poetry I wrote for you?
It was really awkward. Good, Devin. I loved it.
All right.
I feel like I was a
5 minutes
again.
On the clock, dude. Here we go. Okay. Story one. Xbox is ready to show games on May 7th at 8 a.m. Pacific time. Xbox will be showing off third-party games. So, Trev, what can we expect? What do you expect from these games from Xbox Series X?
And did they specifically say third-party, right?
I think they did, yeah. And then a couple weeks or so, I think maybe more around June, we'll be seeing the first parties. But who knows? We might end with a first party. We might end with a teaser.
Yes. Please show me what
if we ended with a tease of Halo and been like,
gosh, I want it.
And then it says, you want more? See you June 3rd or something like that.
Oh,
see you on June 10th.
Sweet. I would love it.
That would be a mock job moment, dude.
Oh,
that'd be sick.
So good.
That's
like,
how you should end that.
Oh, dude.
Microsoft? That's how you should end
notes.
This thing.
Take some notes.
Take
Microsoft.
Some notes.
But
Billy.
Dude, like they,
come on, bro.
So Ubisoft is gonna show Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah,
like that's gonna be there because we're gonna see it on that just juicy box, man. That thing has got some power in it that I want to see what that looks like, just all juiced up. Because that game, I love Viking crap, like. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of our heritage, too, Devin. Did you know that? We got Viking blood, dude.
I believe it. Look at this white skin.
Yeah,
I'm ready for it.
Look at the beard.
Look at the build here in this tiny scruff.
Yeah.
I'm like the Viking from that How to Train Your Dragons.
Hey, but he ends up to lead, dude.
That's true, bro. I got that lead skill.
Oh, anyway. Okay, we're taking our time spending on...
Yeah, we're taking off time with this crap.
We're going to see stuff from them. I hope to see... Like, I don't know. What else are we going to see? What do you think, Dev?
Dude, so here's my thing. Okay. With Assassin's Creed, are we going to see a game that is really outstandingly more visually stunning, or are we going to see like a black flag situation where we're barely seeing the upgrade here?
No, I think we're
that's my
see
worry
a
with this port.
No.
You're going to see a difference?
Dude,
okay.
I think we're going to see night and day.
Okay. Because there's 15 teams on that game. So maybe hopefully somebody was focusing on the Xbox Series X.
I sure hope so.
I just worry it's going to be like that black flag update where it's like, yeah, it has better lighting. And the other thing is when you're watching that trailer, you're like, okay, this is a CG trailer. However, remember that one game that they showed when they were showing off the Series X, the freaking, what's her name? Senua Sacrifice Girl.
Oh,
Senua's
whatever.
That new one. Hellblade. Yeah. Hellblade 2. Mm-hmm. They were showing that off and they were like, this isn't CG. This is in game. It's funny to be like, oh, that CG trailer from Assassin's Creed looks as good as the real in game stuff.
That would
so
be
that's
so
my
good.
That's my worry, dude.
We'll
that's
see.
My worry that this might not be up to that standard because the CG should be as good as the end game.
It's true.
Anyways,
we'll see.
Assassin's Creed, we'll see. Bethesda, do you think Bethesda will show up?
Starfield? I hope
will
so.
We see it's Skyrim.
It's
or
been
no,
in
Skyrim.
Development for a while, right? Starfield?
A long time.
And we won't see another Elder Scrolls. Like that, they specifically said Starfield will come out before the next Elder Scrolls. So I think if anything, we'll see Starfield. I hope so. I want to see it. I want to believe. I want a sci-fi game from them. I think that'd be great. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I think, you know, space, some Bethesda space action, story RPG sounds good to me.
Yep.
It'll probably be janky and look like crap, but it sure will be fun, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. But it'll be prettier janky, you know, like a little smoother, a little clearer.
And then there's going to be Star Wars The Old Republic 3.
Oh, you think so? No. Something crazy like that?
But how cool would that
some
be?
Star Wars action?
Oh, that'd be so good.
Dude, it'd be
good.
Way cool. I'd be down for like a Star Wars thing, like showing us like a new Star Wars something. Mm-hmm. That'd be really cool. I'm trying to think like another. I think we might see like Cyberpunk.
Yeah. I guarantee up. We'll see Cyberpunk. They've been kind of in bed together throughout this last year. So I think we'll see Cyberpunk for sure. It might be too
Call
early.
Duty?
I was going to say Call of Duty, but it might be too early for them to talk about Call of Duty.
And I wonder if PS5 takes it. Still.
Yeah, because they have been buddy-buddy.
So I wonder if they still take it.
You know, I don't
like,
know
they
else.
Need somebody. They need like somebody, like Square or something, dude.
Yeah.
They need like Square or somebody.
They do.
They need to like take some RPGs from them.
That might
be a thing.
I
wonder if they're taking...
I'm more excited, to be honest, like to find out what all their first parties that they've bought up over the
Me
last
too.
3 years.
Yeah, that's where
like,
I'm
that's what
like.
I'm really excited about. The third party stuff, I'm like, whatever, cool. Like, I'm obviously like right at this point, I'll take any video game news. But,
exactly.
I want to know what the first parties are talking about. Oh, there's the alarm.
That's it.
Five
that's
more minutes, Mom.
Nah, dude, that's it. It's over. Now we're going to do one last game. It's called Description Conniption. Trev, this is how this works.
You didn't break
I decide...
me on this, dude.
I know. I'm sorry. So I'm going to describe a game for you using the ESRB ratings. And you are going to just figure out if you could decipher what the game
is. Okay, I'm excited.
We'll just do three. We're just going to do a test run.
Okay.
I had this whole like... getting it all worked out, like how to score it and all, but we'll just do a test run.
I like
now.
It. Cool.
Okay.
Sometimes ESRB's descriptions of stuff are real awesome.
Real, real funny.
Like
yeah.
Big old turd nuggets.
Yeah. Let's see if I can. Okay. Here we go. We got my first one for you coming up.
Do I get any hints or is it just you diving in and I take a guess?
I'm just going to dive in. We'll see if you get it from here.
I'm listening.
So the closer you get it, we'll talk about scoring later.
I got this scoring system.
This is a first person shooter in which players control space marines as they complete objectives and battle enemy forces in a fictional galaxy. This is a Nintendo game, by the way. Players control specialized battle mechs as they explore planets to recover materials, personal, and engage in combat with aggressive alien creatures. Players use blaster-like weapons and missiles to kill various enemies. Are you feeling it?
Yeah.
Are you feeling what this is? What is this?
The only thing I can think of is like some sort of Metroid.
Okay. Which one, though?
It's Prime for sure. And
is it though?
Is it not?
Is it though? No.
Oh, this is the Federation dumb Metroid thing on the 3DS, huh?
It is.
Oh,
yes.
Man, that game. I played it, dude. And was very disappointed.
Yeah. I can't believe you played it. You bought that
thing? Oh, you know what? We were talking about like our regrets. that was one of them. Dude, of course I bought it. It said Metroid on it. Of course I bought it. Jeez, dude. They got me. Man. They know what's up.
Let's see. Let's get another one real quick.
Well, I like these.
These are
fun.
Yeah,
so all Nintendo related, obviously, because I started thinking like Halo.
We'll do
it. And
no, yeah, we'll stick around the Nintendo, although they're not probably won't be as fun as far as like the violence they talk about. All right. In this open world adventure game, players assume the role of a police officer as he goes undercover to capture criminals. Players explore a city open-world environment, investigate crime scenes, and apprehend criminals to complete mission objectives. Players use an assortment of cartoony firearms, oversized lasers, blasters, and pistols to stun enemies or doze them in color. Yes. Players can also grab and throw enemies to the ground in hand-to-hand combat. Anything yet, Trev?
No. What is okay. this game?
Well, it's because I'm deleting a certain word oh. because if I said that word, you would know what it is.
What is instantly. That word?
One sec.
Okay, let's, I've got.
I'll get to the end. I'll get
nothing.
To the end. And. In some driving
RoboCop.
Sequences, players can not yet. In some driving sequences, players can slam into fleeting vehicles, causing them to break apart into pieces. A handful of sequences depict slapstick-style bathroom humor, characters emitting flatulence, bird droppings falling on character's head, and a character getting kicked in the crotch.
I can't.
Pieces, Trev.
No.
Pieces.
A cop.
Breaking apart into pieces. A cop. Pieces. Put them together, baby.
Cop piece? What are you talking
yeah,
about, Devin?
To you.
Oh, Lego City Undercover.
Lego, everybody.
Oh,
Lego City
that
Undercover.
Makes more sense.
Good job if you got that, everybody.
Geez,
I don't know.
Man,
what you did.
My brain, I was like thinking.
It's hard. That was a hard one. Without the Lego, you're like, what the frick am I
doing? The second I saw
doing?
The Lego, I was like, oh, yeah, the undercover one.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, gotcha.
That guy,
oh, dude, I like
okay.
that. That's cool. That's fun. I dig.
Okay, one more we're going to do. Yeah, we'll do this guy.
Okay.
These are fun little guys, cute little buggers. Okay. This action platformer in which players assume the role of a bounty hunter trying to earn cash in a fantastical Wild West-like environment. From a first-person and third-person perspective, players use a crossbow with animal projectiles to stun. You got it yet?
Think so.
And capacitate or kill characters before vacuuming them up to collect bounties. Animal projectiles include an electrocuting insect, a spider that ties enemies with webbing,
yeah.
and a skunk that acts as a gas bomb. Trev,
oh man,
the game
I loved this game too. So this was Oddworld and Odyssey, the Strangers something. What was it called?
You got it, Strangers Wrath.
Yeah,
dude.
Strangers Wrath.
It.
Oh,
yeah,
that
dude.
Game was so fun. Like, and it's so clever.
Good.
Like the way that they like had like the animals be the ammunition. For different abilities
yeah.
and stuff. It was so cool. And I remember
yeah,
like
it was way cool.
when you flip to the third person, like the platform was actually pretty fun. You'd run around real quick and oh, that was such a good mm-hmm. game. Oh, I love that game.
Yeah, man. So good.
Cool.
I loved it. Okay.
Except for I think
Trav,
I played
we're gonna
on
get
Xbox.
A fan quest. Me too.
Okay.
I didn't get the Switch version. But it's on the Switch.
Exactly.
It's on the Switch.
Like it.
Fan questions. Travis asked, what Nintendo character is your spirit animal and why? Who is your spirit animal? Who do you feel reflects
like
you, Trevor
to?
Payne, the most? Yeah. Who's like the guy?
Give me
You're
a
like,
minute.
I
want
I feel,
you to go, Dev. I need a second.
Okay. I need to comprehend this for a little bit. What is it? Who is it? Who am I?
I think I got one.
You got one?
I don't know.
Okay,
they're just pulling this one
it.
Out, but I think so. I'm going to say Yoshi. All right. I'm going to
okay,
say Yoshi
yeah.
because he is always so happy and he's always like just kind of like doing his thing. He's just a happy guy.
Yeah.
I am very much
yeah.
a happy guy. And so I feel like
nice.
We have a lot of, you know, same attitude about life and things. Also,
yeah.
Yoshi loves to eat and this boy, he likes to eat as well. So we got that in common. Now, our tongues
there
are not
go.
The same length, though. That's the only difference. That's
no,
the only
no.
difference. Other than that, we're the same. We should have been brothers.
But should have been brothers. With surgery,
mm-hmm.
things could be happening here soon.
I mean,
you are getting You are getting that Yoshi transitioning surgery. So I'm
I am. They're actually
going to
insert a long tongue that I can move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
That will go. Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait, man.
I'm
excited
like,
for you.
I'm excited
for you.
It's something. That'll be good.
For me, I am going to, dude, it's, I just, I've, I could say Luigi. I understand. Maybe I am like Luigi in some ways. You got the thinness, you know, I can be a superhero sometimes. However, I just feel I love Star Fox. I'm a big fan of Star Fox. I'm feeling Star Fox.
Okay.
I like that leadership
Why, Devin?
Role.
Why?
He's just cool. I feel like I just
Oh, you think you're cool?
Him.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying I want to be cool like Star Fox.
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
I'm presenting myself as that. You are what you bring out in the universe or something.
Yep.
The secret. the secret is that.
Is that the secret?
And I have found, I found the secret, and it's a book, and it tells me that I want to be something, so I'm putting it out in the world. I want to be Star Fox. He flies ships. He's a fox, and I named my son Fox.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And this is really lame.
I like
Thank
it.
Thank you.
I'll take it.
Next. Next. Loretta asks, I miss Nintendo being wacky with their games. Do you think Nintendo has become too conventional? Do you think they are not wacky enough anymore?
Have you seen Splatoon?
Yeah, that's what I'm
that's
like.
Some
yeah,
wacky
that's,
shiz right there, dude.
Loretta, we got, dude, and Loretta. Have you seen ARMS?
Yeah.
ARMS?
Well, I mean, like, ARMS wasn't the best, but like for a day,
great,
it was
but
fun.
It was wacky.
And it was wacky.
Yeah.
Also, like, there's moments in Mario Odyssey that was pretty wacky. Like,
that's true.
There was some,
dude,
especially
yeah,
like, when you're freaking New York City esque type thing, and you
yes,
just straight
dude,
up have normal
yes.
looking people, and you get this weird little, like, midget Mario that's all cartoony running around. It just felt so weird, but they just went yeah. with it. And I don't think that has gone away. I don't think I
no,
think
I don't
that
think
is
so.
Still very much
I don't
there.
Think so either. I think there might maybe there was a little bit of time. Maybe Wii U was a little more
yeah,
conventional
yeah.
with some of their ideas, but I think the Switch is going back to that more wacky state. I mean, you're strapping cardboards on your head.
Yeah,
freaking,
like if that isn't wacky.
You got the Labo shiz.
Oh my
dude.
Gosh,
Labo is nowhere.
Like, I can't believe they even put that out. That just seems like crazy.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're willing
cardboard,
to just
y'all.
Go for it, like that's
yeah.
the thing I love about Nintendo is that
yeah,
the,
yeah.
sometimes their choices are so strange, but they make me so happy to see like
yeah
so I don't
yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily gone away.
No dude, yeah, playable lab, I mean playable cardboard, that's pretty wacky. That's
so crazy.
One of their more wacky ideas for sure. Chris asks, if you were to get rid of one Nintendo console, what would it be? What's the one console that you could
Wii U
totally do without? Yeah, me too. That's an easy one because the Switch has almost
yeah,
all the
Wii well
U's.
I mean like
but,
right now
but
yeah.
But does with the Wii U gone, does the Switch have as many games as the Switch is good?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
The Wii U had good games,
no,
dude.
It had great games, but...
Maybe, dude, you know what? I'm going to change my... I'm going to go N64.
No,
I can't do
you're
it.
Wrong.
Ocarina,
I would say, okay,
Ocarina's
all right,
there.
There's two different eras. Okay, we got to pick a console that we're shutting down, that we're erasing from history in the 3D era and then the 2D era.
Dude, you know what it is? NES. Yeah,
absolutely.
Screw
it's
that.
The NES.
Screw
like,
NES.
I, as much as I love the NES and what it did for like the gaming industry and revitalizing
yeah,
it
all
and
that, yeah.
the properties that actually came from that system, it's I don't have as much fun going back to it as
no
I,
those
like,
games are really
they're rough as much as like
everybody
like is like oh NES is amazing, it's hard to go back to. I could go back to the Super Nintendo all day long, and so I would definitely wipe out NES and then Wii U. I think are my picks.
Yeah, okay, I do NES and I think I'm going to do
you can't
the
do
Wii U had so many
and you can't
dude,
do
Wii U had Yeah, I dude, no, I can do Wii. I think I can do Wii. I'm going to do Wii. Because there's not a lot of great games on the Wii that I'm like blowing my mind. Galaxy's great, but 64 is good.
Oh my gosh.
I could do without a Galaxy, and I could do without the Zelda games on there, for sure.
And the Prime games, Metroid?
They had Prime 3, and that's it. GameCube had
well,
2 and 1.
They also had the trilogy. And it was more fun to play, I felt, with like the motion. Okay. Dude, you can't tell me.
Screw the Wii.
Oh my gosh. And you're
sorry, dude.
You know, honestly.
Compared to the Wii U's library, the Wii U has had good games. Say what you will, but there was 25 good Wii U games. The Wii didn't have 25.
I don't know. We might need to revisit this. We might need to revisit 10,
maybe. Maybe 10. All right. Oh, sorry about that. Sorry.
This is coming from someone that's not a fan of the Wii very much. Like, I'm not a huge Wii fan. So, I don't know. We might have to come back and debate that a little bit.
Questions, everybody. Thank you for sending those in.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it for sure. New releases coming out. A whole lot of nothing. No new releases. I mean, there are, but none that you should really care about. May will have some good games, but
yep,
that's all at the end.
Yep.
Dude, on the 29th,
you will
have at least 5 games that you should pick. Most of them 2K games for some reason.
2K remakes, but that's all right.
But that's all right, yeah. All right, Trev, so let's get into our final recommendations where we give something awesome to check out in video games or otherwise. Trev, what is your recommendation for this week?
So I spent all my time preparing for that Metroid thing.
So you got nothing?
I got something. I want you to go first.
No, you're fine. You do you. That's what I was thinking when I saw that empty space. I was like, maybe I should take it this one. So Trev, I'm going to suggest people have a pen and a pencil and a paper, pen or pencil. I'm a pencil guy.
Okay.
You got yourself a pencil or a pen and a paper and you create something. I've been thinking of story ideas a lot recently.
Yeah.
Lots of children book ideas have been coming to my brain. I don't know why, but I'm a creative person and I really like to have something. And recently I've realized I just need a paper and a pencil around me to write down those good ideas. If you don't think you're creative or you say that you're not, I believe that anyone could be creative if they just like use their brain to do that thing. So if you ever wanted to be creative and you just keep saying, oh, I can't do it, it's impossible, dude, get a pencil and a paper, write down some ideas. The more those ideas come, the better they get.
Sure.
And eventually you got some good action going on. Kid stories going on here in my brain. So y'all get a pencil and paper, get some creativity flowing.
I like it.
Always have something nearby to write down your good ideas. It doesn't even have to be creative stuff, just good ideas in general. So there you go.
Ooh,
that's mine.
Good recommendation,
go old school, go pencil, go paper.
Get rid of that digital crap. Who needs it?
Yeah.
Ugh,
games.
Gross.
Blah.
Okay. So mine and is going to be, Devin, a thing called vertical monitors. So I know this sounds stupid, but I have 3 monitors. Okay. I got my ultra wide in the middle and I put 2 24 inch verticals on the side.
Nice.
It is.
Okay.
There's something about vertical monitor that just is real dope. Okay. When you open up a website, you see like the whole site. It's amazing. The other thing is too, it's great to have like all your little like secondary things that you have up, like, you know, put up like a show up in the corner. Like right now I got all my show notes over here. Vertical monitors. Real nice. Take a look at it. Hey, take those monitors, flip them to the side. Oh, this is real good, dude.
Dude, just playing with those monitors.
Yeah,
good
dude.
For you.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I might go kitty
get
corner
monitors
in a minute, too. So you just give me another week and I'll see what I can
do. Wow. Just going to have this full circle of monitors.
I'm slowly becoming a robot, I think. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Good for you. Dude, Trev, we made it through. We did the Nintendo show. There was no Zencaster mess ups.
Dude,
we must do Facebook Live every time.
It is a Christmas miracle.
We must do Facebook Live every time. I think it just keeps us straight and narrow. That's all it's doing. It's doing great for that. Everyone, thanks for watching here on Facebook Live. We really appreciate it. Again, go support us out in the whole world of podcast'em. Be sure to go check out nintendoshow.com. There you can send in your questions, comments, concerns, all that stuff. You can follow us right here on Facebook. You can go on Twitter, follow us there at Nintendo Show Pod. And remember to like or share or rate us, especially leave us a comment on iTunes. That does help. All that stuff makes us expand into the great glorious beyond, which is the very crowded world of video game podcasts. So if you love what you see, really, it does help out a lot. Trev, that's it, man. That's all we got.
Love you all.
Yep. Farewell. Love you. Have a good night, everyone. Thanks for staying up with us. We'll see you later. Bye.